snoring is a little too much.
That's why we named him Nahor. That's what snore, the word Greek, I mean Hebrew word for snore.
Nahor?
N-A-H-O-R, Nahor.
Nahor.
All right, are we done with the chit-chat? We already recorded 20 seconds of the chit-chat. Luke 2, verse 46. We studied 40, well, we studied a bunch. But anyway, last verse we studied is, and when they had found him not, and they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now in 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Again, this is a big deal because it says, remember every time it says, and it came to pass, it's a big deal. Either if it's good, it's very, very good. And if it's bad, it's sort of like Gary.
Yeah. This conversation he was having with his doctors, is this like an intellectual conversation or is this a spiritual conversation?
No, we'll get to that in a second. We're going to get to there in a minute. Yeah, I promise you it wasn't philosophical.
I said philosophical.
Oh.
I said intellectual.
Okay.
Was it all about God's stuff?
Yeah. And it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. 3 days is a... We're going to spend a minute on that in a little bit, because the types of it are so incredible throughout the scriptures. They found him, it's a Greek word that means after a very, very diligent search they found him. Now the doctors are didaskalos, which means the... It probably refers to the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin we know a lot about Sanhedrins, especially the ones in your mind, but the Sanhedrin here, the Sanhedrin was 70 or 72, depending on the time, of the leaders of Israel who acted in the capacity as a senate. And they, during the days, on every day except the Sabbath and the and feast days, they met in the house of hewn stone. It was called the Gazith. And it was they mostly met regarding innumerable what offering was required for what purpose. The arbitration between or among different issues. It was just the normal things of kind of running a country. But on the Sabbaths and feast days, they met on the porch, and they did this incredible thing. They, all of them, those they were meeting with, and the scholars, the doctors, sat. They sat on the ground. Now, this was before Gamaliel was the last one for which they stood. And remember, he was, we just talked about him, his Simeon was his son, and the one that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. But after his death, in honor of Gamaliel, the teacher no longer sat. They sat with the people that were there asking questions. It was a normal thing. I mean, this wasn't an unusual thing where a lot of people that had just been bar, they couldn't be there unless they'd been bar mitzvahed. And so this was a big deal. Mostly young people, and they asked them questions about whatever was troubling them. And it was a very open discussion. Now, and much latitude is given. Normally, you had to be really kind of respectful and all this, but here it was kind of free and open discussion. Now, during the, remember when we read the Haggadah on Passover, there's a place it says there are three requirements in order to fulfill, some say four, but three requirements to fulfill the Passover. One was a sacrifice. The other was eating the bitter herbs. The other was, ouch, huh? Yeah. Actually, there's four. There's matzah, bitter herbs and matzah was one. And then the other was the appearance. And the other was rejoicing. So it was the sacrifice, the bitter herbs and matzah, the appearance, and the rejoicing. The sacrifice had to take place on the first day, as did the bitter herbs and the matzah. The appearance had to take place on the second day. Now again, this was only it covered the males that had been bar mitzvahed, and this was a positive requirement so that the women didn't have to do it. The women didn't have to be at the feast, but many of them came. But they didn't do the Seder. It was only the men. Now, this, you remember the length of the Passover was how many days from what they called that whole feast? You remember? It was 8 days, right? Same as it was for Tabernacles. And so this issue with regarding the sitting in the midst of the doctors, it had to take place during those days, but it couldn't take place on the first or the second day. But many of the people left on the third day because their requirement was finished, and so they went ahead and went back to their cities and towns and wherever. And so more than likely the company of that was with Mary and Joseph and her kinfolk and acquaintances, they probably left either on the third, but more than likely on the fourth day. So they came back, they didn't find him until the seventh, the 3 days later. And so here we have, it was either on the sixth, probably on the seventh day that they found him. And that we know that because it had to be during the feast days, that it was the only time that they were, the Sanhedrin was sitting with the people and hearing questions, okay? So I don't know if that was important to you, it was to me to figure out exactly what happened. Now, we're going to look for a minute at 3 days. Good. Let's just first go to Matthew 12. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, why did he say an evil and perverse generation are seeking after a sign? Isn't that kind of interesting? Anybody have an answer?
No faith.
If I am seeking a sign, then time is left. A little bit. Not getting it?
No.
If I'm seeking a sign, then I don't have to have the fear of God before me that instant. Because I am seeking a sign to tell me when something else is going to happen. There's no time in history that's like today, that everybody is seeking a sign. And there shall be no sign given. Why? Because we must live in the fear of God, which means that every second of every day, it must be to us as though we are seated on the judgment seat. And we must not allow the garment to be spotted by the flesh. Now, how is the garment spotted by the flesh? One way is by looking for a sign. Do you understand?
So then faith and hope and faith also do not exist in time.
Well, right. The three that exist are, I mean, the it says hope, faith, and agape, or love.
Right. Do not exist in time.
No, they only exist in time. But the greatest of these is love. Huh?
Only in the present.
Right, because faith and hope, if you're on the mercy seat, then faith is no longer necessary. Do you understand that? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13.
And if you're on the mercy seat, your hope is fulfilled.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 13. How did we get on this?
I asked the question. Sorry, go.
Do you ask the question?
I sure did.
Was disrespectful.
Well, I didn't ask if it wasn't on. Let's go.
You can't be disrespectful in asking a question.
You must be respectful.
1 Corinthians what?
13. What? Somebody over here said something?
It was just the same question.
Well, this is probably a good time to read this. We haven't read this for a while.
The whole thing.
Chapter 13, verse 1.
Shit, sorry.
1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Did somebody curse?
No.
Did I hear the English word for dung?
No, I said, what did you just call me? Here we go, verse 1.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not... Now, charity, that's a terrible translation. It means agape. That's what it is. It's divine love. Though I speak with the tongue... And so I'm going to use agape where it says charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, or love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not for her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And the word thinks, it doesn't mean, it means much more than just think. Mm-hmm. It means account for nothing. Account nothing as evil, except your mind. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect or fully tested is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three, or love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, as we said, if I am on the mercy seat, if I see myself on the mercy seat, if I know that I'm on the mercy seat, if the seventh angel is sounded within me and says the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more, if I can look wherever I look and see that every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, if I know that I own all things, if I know that I never need anything, then you're on the mercy seat. And for you, time is gone. Amen? And you never leave it. You never, ever. There's no excuse to ever leave it. Now, if you're not on the mercy seat, if you've only every once in a while visited it, then everything is double-mindedness. Let's go to Deuteronomy 26, I think.
Are the mercy seat and the judgment seat the same, basically?
Well, remember, what is the mercy seat?
It's where you see correctly.
Yeah, but look, the mercy seat is on the Ark of the Covenant.
Deuteronomy what, 27?
Just a minute. Mercy seat is on the Ark of the Covenant. And overriding the mercy seat are the angels, the wings. But what the mercy seat is seated on is the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that Ark is everything that that indicated rebellion. The Ten Commandments, which were given because of rebellion. Two tables of stone. There's the pot of manna, which was given because of rebellion. There's the Aaron's rod that budded, which was given because of rebellion. And those are the items within the Ark of the Covenant. And so the mercy seat, if you're on the mercy seat, then you're covered. All of the judgment is over because Christ has already paid the price. But if you're in self, for any reason, then there's a hole in the mercy seat, or the cover of the mercy seat is a little bit off. And so then you have to pay for the judgments.
Yeah, they're subject to that judgment.
Yeah, the mercy name is always, I guess mercy, you can't experience mercy when you're within yourself. It's an outward, an outflowing position or expression, right?
But it can't even be understood by the questions, because it's over.
This is like another of Jesus is mercy, and it's in Him that you find that mercy. It's not you now snapping out of it. It's being placed, seeing correctly in Him, and that's mercy.
Then you are with Him and in Him,
in him,
on the mercy seat.
move a lot, little outside, then judgment snaps into play.
And the cosmic tell is always the same. We're playing a cosmic poker game, and there's an infinite number of tells. And if you're on the mercy seat, you can see the tells very quickly. But if you're off the mercy seat, you can't see the tells. So somebody's going to take advantage of you in your cosmic poker game. Amen?
How much does the pot of mana reflect judgment?
What?
Seems like that would reflect mercy, the pot of mana.
Yeah. No, it was given because of their rebellion. Go back and read it.
All right.
That's your assignment. All right, Deuteronomy 26, I think. Not in the right place on the page. What? All right, this is me trying to find where we're going.
We'll be here.
The Deuteronomy chapter 26, right?
But it isn't there. It moved.
What are we looking for?
The law of the first fruit. I'll find it. No wonder. I was looking at Numbers.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I believe it. I
get access to
it. Genesis.
I can't believe it. I was right. It's Deuteronomy 26. I was trying to find Deuteronomy 26 in Numbers.
No.
By his stripes we are healed.
Can't do that.
Right. Never mind. And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein. If you're a believer, then you know you have an inheritance. If you've gone a little farther, you know that you possess it. But his desire is that you dwelleth therein alone, so that the new Jerusalem is your only city of birth, so that you have call no man on earth father, no man on earth, no woman on earth mother, that everything is complete. You receive the inheritance, you possess it, you know you possess it, but more importantly, now you dwell in it. And that the only place to dwell is in him and on him and with him, and that's on the mercy seat, because that's where he is. Okay? So everything is this idea of location of sphere. That's why there are no... This Bible isn't about rules. It isn't even about religion. It's about being in one of two environments, which the location of sphere for the promises of God is in eternity. Everything else is in time and space. And the pathway from Egypt to Jerusalem, or to the mercy seat, was revealed in Israel as they went from the world to Jerusalem. Now, again, it's never our business who's saved and who isn't. But if you're a teacher, it's your business to ensure that everyone is on the mercy seat, because that's the only place that you've been perfected forever. Amen? And so it's not a matter of, I'm going to just do blah, blah. I mean, it's digital. Either you're on the mercy seat or you're not on the mercy seat. Now, in God's wisdom, he counted the different places. Some are still in the world, in Egypt, hiding under the door. waiting for something to happen. And some are been baptized through the Red Sea, and they see that there's a new world. And you're wandering around in the wilderness until you're shed of all the grave clothes of religion and ideas and idolatry. And you come into the Promised Land, and you see it's another man, they're giants. But faith says those giants are food. And you finally come into Jerusalem. But some finally come to the door of the tabernacle. And finally you come to the brazen altar. And finally you go into the holy place. And then finally you go into the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. But the truth is, that's why Ecclesiastes says, that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. The idea is that the real you is on the mercy seat now, always have been. And so the only thing is a matter of apprehension. What have you been apprehended by? And the only apprehension can only come by the abject and total repentance. Never again to return to the things that you have destroyed. Now the problem is people try to live in two worlds. Can't happen. You'll always make the Holy Spirit your enemy. Amen? Everybody understand?
Thinking about on the mercy seat, is there still such a thing as waiting on God, or is there only the knowledge that it's all finished and that's your position? So it's not a position now of waiting, it's a position of being and knowing, and it seems different somehow.
You said last night, though, that it says that waiting is love in the Lord's eyes.
Yeah, I mean. The calculus of everything changes, mm-hmm. because now it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with meeting the need of others around about you. And so it's not a matter of whether you're waiting or not. That didn't even come into your mind. The only reason that you're here is to lay down your life, become broken bread, and pour out wine for others. The idea of seeking for your own and trying to figure it out for you, I mean, it becomes strange. It becomes anathema. And so the mercy seat and his resurrection in that place informs you of a place that you couldn't even dream of. That's why if you live in that place, then, conduct your life as if you're in that place. I mean, that's everything. There's no other position. And we've talked about it before. There are no aces in the hole. There are no plan Bs. You know, I know you all well enough to know that a few of you have some aces in the hole, and plan B and C.
No,
plan C is
acrobatic.
I know. It's
nipping.
Now we're talking about what goes on in your mind.
We were talking about your plan Bs and Cs last night.
This minute you have none. Then stay there.
Don't leave.
Watching you.
And don't get mad at us when we call you out, mm. when we see you leaving it.
Come on. I just smelled some grease burning.
No grease burning.
Everybody understand perfectly. when we get to this word understand, we're going to, because it says that they were amazed at his understanding. And that's, that'll be fun when we get there. But we're not going to get there because we're out of time. Anybody have any response to any of this?
My response was kind of thinking Jesus grew up and he's 12 years old now. And like, what put him in that place that he had this understanding and wisdom? It's like he saw from a different point of view always while he was growing up, seeing from God's point of view.
No.
No.
No. The Son of Man, he was just like you and I.
Well, at 12 years old, he's got some wisdom. That ain't like I was at 12. I mean, something had to be in his head that he's able to speak with the muckety mucks and tell them what it was like. What put him in that place?
He asked the questions. He wasn't telling them. He was asking them questions. And they were amazed by his questions and his understanding. He grew in wisdom just like everybody else does. He grew in wisdom and understanding. That's the way of the beast. Remember, he had to fulfill everything as Son of Man before he was baptized. He had a slow dawning awareness, probably starting about now, that meant, my God, there's something here. This is weird. I think they might be talking about me. But he didn't know until he was baptized. Unless you want to believe these harebrained gospels that are out there about Jesus killing somebody and a little kid when they were playing and he raised them from the dead and making little birds out of clay and breathing on them and they fly away. And there are a million of those kinds of stories. Yeah, well, that's why. Well, the Aquarian Gospel isn't Aquarian. I mean, all they did was steal from about 15 other apocryphal books. There was nothing original in it.
And they made birds out of clay.
Huh?
And they made birds out of clay.
Well, that came from the Gospel of Matthew, or the Acts of Matthew. And when it talks about the childhood of Jesus, it's just ridiculous mental gymnastics.
So he experienced what any child growing up would probably experience.
He crapped his pants. He wet his diapers. He got spanked for misbehaving.
For whining.
He had to fulfill, as Son of Man, he had to fulfill, and all the while he was pushing the envelope, pushing everything.
But to have, but to astonish people, have understanding like he had.
Wait until we get to the word understanding before you ask the question about understanding.
Okay. Right.
We'll be here tomorrow.
I just reread it. I understand.
Now you understand.
Now I understand.
We'll see tomorrow. We'll see if you understand.
Anybody have any idea of what understanding means? Let's just pose a question.
I was going to ask you to do it, but I want to do it well.
No, I'm not going to yell. Just tell me what you think it is. And you'll have to find out whether it's true or not tomorrow.
Understanding is knowing. You're a believer. Understanding is knowing that everything comes from God.
And then it's finished, I guess.
I think it's nice. As a form, as apprehension.
We'll get there tomorrow.
God, no response. So just leaving hanging. I'm going to have to wait.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Take a big guy. So we're not.